Of the rap game. Woo! Ever since I hit him with that dirt track thing. Yeah. Now nationwide, everybody knows my name. They're like, mama, that's Kenny Montgomery. He sings that song we like. Yeah, boy, that's me. Roll out the trailer, I'm flossing. Huh. Them Hoosier tires glossing. Yeah. Them cold kind, we're tossing. Right. They know I came to wreck it, yet I rarely bring out a caution. I hit the high side. Boy, I park it for Brian Clausen. I do them like...
Welcome to Throttled Up, the podcast. Throttled Up will be a weekly podcast featuring Matt and Dustin. We plan to discuss the legendary Brownstown Speedway, along with other local dirt tracks, Eldora, Salem Speedway, and all of your IndyCar and NASCAR news. Don't miss an episode of Throttled Up, the podcast.
Hey, Mo, are you going to win it? Uh-huh. Yeah, I hope y'all brought some stamps, because y'all know I'm about to send it on it. Dirt. I'm all about that. Dirt. I'm throwing. Dirt. I miss that. Dirt. Gotta get back to it. I'm a dirt trackaholic. Call it what you call it. Saturday night, I am so Kenny.
Welcome back to Throttled Up, the podcast. Exciting night. We had a weekend off of racing action. Which was, as I kind of mentioned last week, was perfect for me to fall at the time it did after a new baby. And I got to spend the whole Mother's Day weekend at home with my wife and the new baby, which, you know, worked perfect. You know, I didn't get in any trouble for going to the track, which opened me up perfectly for this weekend. As long as Mother Nature plays fairly, I'm excited to get out to the track this Saturday at Brownstown Speedway. Do have a guest in studio tonight also, making our first attempt at Facebook Live. Looks like we have one viewer already up. Not sure who it is. We'll see if we get any comments coming in, but one viewer up. But this is something we want to build on and kind of be able to get some Facebook Live followers so that they can throw out some questions to drivers as we do this. So if you're just typically a podcast listener, we'll try and get that on social media. Make sure you're following us on Twitter or following us on Facebook so that you can see when these are coming out. Before I bring the guys in that are with us tonight, I do want to, you know, shout out to our sponsors again. Number one, Brownstown Speedway. We were just joking beforehand. We looked up where the podcast was being downloaded from, and one place is we've got several downloads from Tokyo, Japan. So it is the world famous Brownstown Speedway.
That's right.
You know, got listeners listening to what's going on there every week from Tokyo. So. Also, you know, and before I move on, I do want to give a huge shout out to Jim Price and what he's letting us do and letting us be involved with the racetrack. It's been a lot of fun, and I appreciate everything there. Also, in the Fast Lane Productions, and I'm going to tell you, I've said this every week, but there is not a better value if you're a local dirt track fan than in the fastlaneproductions.com. You know, the only tough part about it is not even paying the money. It's doing the math equation every time you log in. Ryan and Nathan must be a lot better because today I had O-N-E times three, and I thought I was back in algebra class. I got it right. It was three. I got it right. But that's the only tough part. But I tease them. But, guys, go get your subscription. Still go out to the track, but there's nothing better than having that opportunity to kind of relive what happened on the track later in the week. Hey, my wife just joined us on Facebook Live, so it's one of my wife is watching us. She could just walk out here and watch us right now, but she's watching us on Facebook Live. So,
It's a lot more comfortable on the couch.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
I'm sure it is.
She doesn't have to be quiet either. Also, Schaefer Photo and Custom Tee. Man, if you guys have not looked at some of the photos that Mark has been taking already this season, there is not a guy that's better in the sport of taking photos and getting them edited and getting them back to drivers and allowing drivers to use them for sponsorship deals and getting them back to their sponsors. But if you're a race fan and you got that special person that you pull for every weekend at Brownstown, go pick up a photo of him and, you know, help support Mark and what he does. And like I said, I've joked a little bit with it, but he's a lot of entertainment to watch too on the weekends, him hustling back and forth to get the shots he does, and he does a terrific job. The last one that I'll mention, yes, is Kenny Montgomery from KMO Music, and I appreciate KMO Music and appreciate what he's allowed us to do with his music. I've reached out to him, hopefully going to have him on here sometime this summer to kind of talk about what he's doing in his racing down there. But now to get into the actual episode, Matt, how are you tonight?
Doing good. I actually enjoyed the weekend off myself. You know, it's like a job. You know, you love going to work, but there are times you enjoy the Saturday, you know, the rare Saturday off where you can do some things at home too. So,
yeah, and you had a chance to spend some time with family as well, I believe.
Yeah, we had about 50 people at the house Saturday. So, you know.
Yeah, and my newborn kind of kept me out from being able to come out and be part of the family.
I don't blame you. You know, I would have. I did have the new grandson there, so that was enjoyable.
Yeah, that's, you know, it's funny how we've started this whole deal together. Now you have a newborn grandson within a few days of me having a new son. I won't talk about how that shows that you're older than me or anything like that. That'd be rude to point that out.
Yeah, I believe the last episode we pointed that out.
When, oh, did we?
Yeah, when I said I was at Eldora in 85 and you let me know you was born in 85.
So. Did I say that on air?
Yeah, you did.
I couldn't remember if it was on air or not. Yeah. So we do have a guest in studio and excited. And before I have you introduce him, I'm just going to say right now, and no disrespect to anybody else at the racetrack, but out of all of the cars at Brownstown Speedway that race on a regular basis, I'm going to say on record, this guy has the best looking car at the racetrack. Out of all of them, other than the night that and I've talked about on here, the white and red Briscoe Mobile Home Sprint car was there because I lean that way. But as far as the guys that are there every week, man, this guy has the sharpest looking car, I think, at the track. So I'm going to let you do your announcing honors and introduce our guest tonight.
Well, he comes to us out of North Vernon, actually Comiskey area now. Drives a 00 modified. It's going to be Jeremy Owens.
Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
And we're happy to have you, and I mean it, man. I think you got the sharpest looking car out there.
Thank you. I get that a lot from a lot of people since I switched over to the new design 3 years ago. It's definitely different, and I like it. So
it does. It stands out. It is a totally different looking car than you usually see out there. So I think it is by far one of my favorite ones to see. And obviously, I try to say somewhat unbiased, but I seem to go ahead and pull for you a little bit more just because I pick up that 00 a lot better. So I am a fan. I will admit that right now, and I think you got a sharp-looking car, man.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, I think it's cool that you don't have the number in the normal place. You know, everybody puts a number in the door. You know, you take advantage of, you know, the side of the modified and put it up, you know, on the back there. And I think that's kind of cool, too. So
I've already gotten called out here on our Facebook live feed that I've not seen the Texas Roadhouse number 2 Superstock. That's actually not true. I have seen the Texas Roadhouse number 2 Superstock. And while it is a sharp looking vehicle, I'm going to stick by what I started with here and say it is the 00 and the modified, I think. My personal opinion, not challenging anybody else.
That's not the opinion of Throttled Up the Podcast. That is Dustin Roller's opinion.
Yeah, this is my personal opinion. Before we get a lot of people
before you
upset.
Get a bunch of comments on there.
Yeah, what about this car? What about this car? What about this car? So, you know,
I'm going to stay unbiased and just not make a statement on that one.
That's okay. I can have some drivers and other fans upset with me. That's all right. I still, you have to be a little more unbiased as an announcer. I can be still a little bit of the fan here and show some of my bias a little bit. But, you know, as we get into this, Jeremy, where does this drive and this love of racing and getting involved come from?
Well, I think it just came from, you know, growing up around my dad helping Mark Barber all those years. Yeah. You know, it just, I guess I was born into it, really, because my dad helped me out so much, or helped Mark out so much, that, you know, I was just there the whole time, regardless of, you know, where they went or where they were at.
Blake Barber just chimed in there for you, Jeremy.
Yeah, Blake, you know, 00 team. Yeah, that's where the number came from, just growing up around that. And that's what gave me the drive, because nobody in my family's, as far as I know of, has ever raced. But I do consider Mark and Blake family. So I guess, you know, I got my racing from Mark and my dad, really. So.
And to be honest, when you start talking about, you know, somebody.
She says, can't hear Jeremy.
When you talk about, should be able to. I don't know why it's not coming through. When you talk about somebody that can, you know, you can learn from, Mark Barber is a pretty good one.
Yeah, that's for sure. You know, a lot of people talk about me being so smooth and everything on the racetrack, but, you know, really, I think it was just from watching him all those years and really just taking my time learning that.
But, you know, I know a little bit more of your backstory than just the average guy listening there, because, you know, I've been around here, you know. I remember when, you know, your dad and Mark was at the racetrack. I mean, if you've seen Mark, you know, you've seen your dad. You know, they was the dynamic duo there. And you know, when you started racing and you showed up with the 00 on the wing hanging off the, you know, the back zero, I was like, you know, that's pretty cool there. So, you know, what did you start out in? Let's go, the people that don't know you, let's go there. What did you start out in?
Started out in pure stocks. Ran those for about 2.5 years and decided to go a different direction after winning the championship in 2009 at Brownstown. And that's how the modified deal came along, I guess. So,
what made you decide to go to the modified instead of a super stock or a late model, or, you know, crate late model?
You know, I'm not really sure for sure on that one. One of the reasons I didn't want to get into a crate is, you know, because of Mark. I liked watching him, and, you know, a dream would be to race against him one day, you know, side by side. But, you know, I guess I just never really wanted to get into that point right then. You know, I looked for him for advice and everything, and, you know, I just didn't want that hanging over there, I guess.
Yeah, because the advice might dry up a little bit if you got to line up beside of him there. So.
Right. Probably not as much with me and him being as close as we are, but it probably would a little bit, yeah.
And, you know, we've said this on here before. I mean, you race one of the hardest cars to race because you have all that motor, you know, and then, you know, you're not running on that big wide tire like a late model does. You know,
exactly.
You got to figure out how to get it to the ground. Yes. And, you know, and keep it there.
So, and it's a lot of work in the right foot trying to control that throttle as much as you can.
When you went from the pure stock to the modified, was it a total driving change? Did you have to learn to drive totally different, or?
Not so much, really, because I guess I had the throttle control down because of Brownstown. It was always so black and so slick, and it was real flat back then.
Sorry, I'm trying to fix the microphone that we're saying is not working, and that played back into our ears. So I apologize about that, Joe.
That was kind of wild.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. That was,
but things that happen when you go live.
Yeah, this is exactly. For everybody listening, this is our first attempt at this. So I apologize if we've got some settings off, but we're trying to fix them as we go. Jeremy, you're coming through great on our stuff, but for some reason they're saying that we can't hear you on Facebook Live. So we are I'm not ignoring you in any way, shape or form. I'm trying to help you out a little bit, so
no problem,
but go ahead.
Brownstown, black and slick back then, so you had to control the throttle, and I didn't have a big motor back then either, and still don't today compared to most guys, but that's what helped me make that transition. I mean, obviously there's a lot more motion in the modifieds than there is the pure stocks, but driving straight and everything like I did in the pure stock kind of compares to the modified deal a little bit there. So,
because I mean, you're right, when you go into the corner yourself, your driving style, you're not all kicked out and, you know, hanging it out sideways around the corner. You actually try to square it off a little bit more to keep, you know, the rear end behind you. And I think that helps you out. You know, you get a lot more drive off the corner because of that than, you know, when you're all kicked out sideways.
Yeah, it's just that constant learning whenever, you know, driving that pure stock on that black slick Brownstown, just growing up on that racetrack, I guess, helped me a lot transition into what it is now today. So,
and what year did you win the pure stock championship?
2009, I think it was. Yeah, 2009. So,
and this is, you said, your 10th year?
10th year altogether. So,
that's very cool.
So, started in 2008, and so we're going into our 10th year this year. So,
What is and I'm gonna still kind of try and work here as we go, but I don't want to leave you totally hanging. But when we talk about, you know, you said you won the points, but what are some of those other major highlights in your driving career that just really stand out?
I would say my first win in a pure stock would have to be one of the top wins in my career, because that was the only one that my dad was actually able to be at and watch. So that one has to be my top one. Second one has to be, you know, winning my first modified feature. That, you know, that was pretty special in its own right. So, you know, those two, definitely one and two. Quite a bit of other ones stand out, but those definitely one or two.
And what's it like that first time that you get the opportunity to park it in Victory Lane?
Oh, there's no other feeling like it, you know. It's just, it makes you want more. I guess that's where the drive to race comes from for everybody, because everybody wants to be in Victory Lane.
Oh, yeah.
Every night, you know, you just strive to get better and better, and, you know, it's an ongoing addiction, I guess you should say, so.
Very cool.
You got to win. Well, you got to win as a car owner that I don't think you guys can claim, because you actually got disqualified after that when Jason Heyman climbed down in your modified for the, 2 years ago for the Powder Puff race. You know, you let Jason climb in there, and I know Jason's intent was when the white flag came out, he was just going to pull off and park it.
Right.
Well, we let Nikki, you know, from down the pit shack, she wanted to flag a race. So we're like, well, come up here and flag this Powder Puff race. And Nikki forgets to throw the white flag. And when you go from green to checkered, and then, you know, Jason ends up winning the race in your car, and, you know, track official follows them back because they're yelling, you know, on the receiver to, you know, to pull in. So how much laugh did you guys get out of all that when, you know, Heyman just had too much equipment, I guess, to race in the Powder Puff? So
it was very, you know, and it all started, I paid the entry fee, and I was wanting Cassie to get out there and try it, and she wouldn't. So I'm like, I paid $20. I want somebody to get in here. And we were trying to figure out who'd fit in the seat and everything. Well, Jason,
oh, yeah,
about one of the ones that could fit in my seat. So he jumped in there, and we were trying to get him to pull off on the back stretch and pull off. And we just couldn't get it done. He was having too much fun out there, I guess. But yeah, that was definitely enjoyable for all of us, I think. So
that was a good line. I mean, because that's what he said. He goes, when I seen the white flag, I was just going to drive off on the half mile and, you know, be done. And he said, then I never seen the white flag and the checkers out. And he goes, you know, I was stuck. And I forgot to ask him when he was on the show.
I was waiting for it last week. I'm like, man, I ought to say something to those guys about that one. So
I actually, when I was showing up that night for the show, I had every intention on doing it and then forgot about it. And it's like, oh my gosh, man. So I thought, well, when you're coming on, I'll ask you about it, since you were the car owner on that disqualified race there.
Yeah, that was a good night. That's good. So,
you know, outside of Mark Barber growing up, who were some of those guys that you kind of looked up to as your driving style? Obviously, you had a huge connection with the Barber family and Mark Barber, but who'd you kind of, you know, lean to for that driving style, or you wanted to emulate growing up?
You know, to be honest with you, growing up, I didn't watch nobody else but Mark. You know, until I started racing in 08, Mark was it. Mark was somebody that I looked up to, somebody I watched all the time. Yeah, there was nobody else. Obviously, when I started racing, you know, watching Scott Blomquist, Jimmy Owens, some of those guys go around the racetrack, you know, it's very fun to watch those two guys, because they're very particular on their driving styles and their lines. And definitely Scott, he's definitely one of those people that sit in the garage and just think about his race car all the time. And, you know, and that says a lot about the way them two guys run the last couple of years. So,
you know, I've said this before, and it's, you know, I'm just going to sound like I'm going to keep repeating myself, but we don't realize what kind of racing talent we have right here, you know, in our backyards, like Mark, you know, because I remember, you know, in the 90s, you go to Eldora, and, you know, Mark was, you know, a competitor over there for the World 100, you know, and stuff like that, you know, and then Jeff Wilson, you know, now that we're right out of Butlerville, he was over there competing. I mean, it was amazing when you'd go over to Eldora, all the guys that you watch every Saturday night here were right there competing, you know, and, you know, there's not a lot of guys out of the racetracks that can say they have that much competition, you know, right around here.
Especially, you know, back in the 90s, there was 200 some cars there at Eldora, too. It wasn't like there's 50 to 100 that there is now. There was a big showing of cars up there.
Oh, yeah.
So,
what made you make the jump? You know, what, when we looked at that, you know, going from a pure stock to a modified, what went into that decision to make the jump when you did, and then to choose the modified over some other options?
Mostly, like I said, it was just it was time to move on from the pure stock. I wanted to do something different, something that was a challenge. So really the modifieds came into play. You know, super stock and a modified, there's some price difference, but not as much, and you can race more places with the modified. So I guess that's why I kind of chose that route more. I mean, the crate series was just getting started back then. They were still run supers. So the racing wherever I could, whenever I wanted to, kind of played into that decision a lot, getting started in that whole modified class. So,
and that is a good thing about racing under the UMP umbrella, that, you know, those are national rules. So, you know, if they race a UMP modified and you show up and, you know, you're inside the rule book, you, like you said, you can race anywhere you want to that way.
Yeah, there's so many tracks around here that race them. It's just, you know, how far do you want to drive to go race that weekend, really, is what it comes down to, and where you want to go. So
when you talk about tracks, obviously Brownstown's your home track. What are some of the other tracks you've gotten an opportunity to race at that you really like?
You know, I really like Florence. I've been to Putnamville, you know, Mount Pilliar, Bloomington for the third time over the weekend. But Florence, I really like Florence. You know, racing over there, it's fun. It's a fast track. The wall kind of gets you sometimes, but it's definitely fun. But, you know, my dream is to go to Eldora and race over there one time and hopefully fulfill that this time, sometime this summer maybe. So we'll just have to see how that goes.
You know, I'm actually a fan of Florence too. You know, I go down for the North-South race there in August and watch that. And that track is, it just seems like it's just super, super fast. I mean, do you get that same sensation in the race car? I mean,
yeah, it's kind of weird because it's fast, but it kind of feels like Brownstown too to me,
really?
You know, because it slows down like Brownstown does when it gets feature time and it gets slick. I mean, it kind of takes on that shape that Brownstown does. Obviously, it's a different track to race, and you got a different driving style, but it's kind of similar in its own way. You know, it don't stay real fast all night long because it gets slick and smooth just like Brownstown does. So.
And, you know, I've never been in a race car, so I can't talk about it from the seat, but as a spectator, it almost looks like Florence has a little longer straightaways than Brownstown does. Like, the corners are tighter and the straightaways are longer. Does it feel like that in the car?
Yeah, it definitely feels like hairpin turns, really, in the corners compared to Brownstown. But the straightaways are definitely longer, that's for sure.
Feels like almost like a Martinsville. That's what, you know, Florence reminds me of a Martinsville.
Looks like it almost,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
Really, I mean, if you think about it.
Yeah. Where else? What's the farthest way you've traveled to race? I mean, you know, Florence is a good little haul from here, but
Mount Pilliar was probably the farthest. That I'm pretty sure that was, I think, three and a half hour drive, maybe, I think. But that was probably the farthest I've been so far. So
I'm working.
Oh, he's over working. We usually try to bounce him back and forth.
Yeah, right. So, I know, and I'm being rude because I'm trying to. I ended our Facebook live feed, and I'm trying to see because it isn't, for some reason, it is not letting you you come in hardly at all, and so I'm trying to fix this here without totally losing
our podcast.
Yeah, I don't want to lose the podcast. I've been down that road before, so I'm trying to balance.
Yeah, we've had to start over before. So when we had Wheemiller in here, we actually got about halfway through and it was like, let's stop. We had start all the way over. Well, then you lose kind of that conversation, you know. Of it,
right,
so.
The conversation kind of quits flowing there for a second.
Well, so we can get in there twice. So let's go ahead and you can give all your sponsors out real quick and we'll go from there.
You know, Brad Irwin Customs, you know, that guy helps me more than a lot of people has, you know, between him and Mark Barber. But, you know, Brad Irwin, Customs, All-Star Paving, Gilpin Electric and Generator. Peter Hall came on this year to help me out. Can't thank Darla and Curtis enough on that one. Wagner 28 Motorsports, Jeff Mounts Motorsports, Travis Kern Racing Engines, P3 Graphics, Genesis Shocks, you know, Ride Auto Parts, P3 Graphics. That pretty sums up the sponsors, and they all do their part on my car to get me to the racetrack every weekend, so I can't thank them enough.
You know, you mentioned Rides, and you know, when Devin was on here, he had Rides, and you know, Kurt is a personal friend of mine, and you know, the things he does for the racing community is very impressive. You know, I've been in there sitting on the stool, you know, at the counter, just, you know, shooting the breeze with people, and I've seen guys come in and, you know, they want to race, you know, it's Saturday morning, they want to race that night, and you know, they don't have the money to pay for it, and you know, Kurt's like, just come and see me next week. And you know, there's not You can't go to a Napa and they'll do that for you. You know, Kurt enjoys the sport himself, and you know, I've seen a lot of parts go across the counter with no money coming back the day of the purchase, you know, and exactly. So you got to give a shout out to Kurt for that.
Definitely, for sure. You know, he's always been around racing for a long time, you know, so he loves the sport, I think, like everybody else does.
And if you don't mind, I'm gonna take a short break here to bring back up our sponsors again, and take a pause and let them come in, and we'll come back. Again, I just want to shout out to our sponsors, Brownstown Speedway, In the Fast Lane Productions.com, Schaefer Photo and Custom Tee, and Kenny Montgomery Music. All right. Well, thank you again to all of our sponsors that we just reached out to. But I am going to be honest. I like to be honest. We also took that for a little technical difficulty break. We had some issues with our setup with Facebook Live. The sound quality may not be as good now as what I want it to be, but I think everybody's going to be able to hear all three of us, and we're still going to get great sound quality here on the podcast. So apologize for that. And Jeremy, I'm going to say it to you again. I said it to you a lot on off the air, but I do apologize. I was not nearly as attentive or paying attention as well as I typically do. So I apologize, but we'll jump right back into it.
I'll give a real quick for, you know, those listening. He's been racing for 10 years, coming up this year.
10 years this year.
Started out in the pure stock. pretty much watched Mark Barber growing up, and that's what got you interested in racing, was your dad working with Mark there on the race car, and hence the 00
yep.
on the car. So
yep.
And I don't know that he's joined again yet, but I do want to bring up something that came off air, and that's you know, Blake Barber. And Blake played football for me for a while when he was at the high school. And, you know, we talked about, you know, Blake should have just came over and been on, but we didn't know if that mullet he's got is really Facebook Live worthy. So I do want to throw that out to him that, you know, Blake, we wanted to have you on, but we didn't know if that mullet would look good on camera.
Yeah, that's a very good point, you know.
This room might not be big enough for the barber mullet there.
Get a fan going, blow it in the wind there.
But, you know, I'm going to ask you this, and this is something we've talked to a lot of the guys that have come on here, Jeremy, is we talk about winning, we talk about parking it in victory lane. You know, what is it that you love about – because this is a full-time thing. I mean, you're in the shop working through the week. Obviously, there's travel involved. This is not just a – you know, it's not a hobby like, hey, I play golf on Saturday morning and then I go back home. What is it that keeps you interested and wanting to come back every week?
You know, really, it's just trying – I got a competitive nature. I played sports in high school, middle school, and that competitive nature, just you want to win no matter what. And you do all the hard work and the tedious things that takes you there. So I guess that's just what keeps me coming back. And, you know, and it's good to see my little boy's reaction whenever he sees a trophy or a check or something sitting on the counter the next morning if he's not there, or if he's not asleep in victory lane, you know, seeing his reaction. So it's very exciting.
And I do want to, you know, we gave you a chance there before we took the break to fix the technical difficulties, to shout out your sponsors. Who are some other guys that help you, not just in the sponsorship realm, but help you with that wrenching to get to the track every weekend?
You know, Bill Gilpin, Mike Lugo, them two guys come out a couple times a week and help me out throughout the weeks, getting the car ready, maintenance, tires, things of that nature. So, you know, a lot of it goes to them too as well, you know, coming out and helping me get everything together. So
very cool.
Gilpin, he's been a sponsor with you for a lot of your career, hasn't he? I mean, it seems like,
yeah,
I've seen that on there for, you know, many
I'm
many
trying
years.
To think of how many. It might be a little over five now.
That's what I thought.
So it's been a while. So,
and I know Bill, we went to school together there, and I've known him forever, and you know, he's a great guy. You know, that's why I'm glad to see him involved with you, you know, because, you know, and helping you.
Yeah, definitely helps out a lot. So
what is it about Brownstown Speedway? And obviously, we, you know, Brownstown's one of our sponsors, and we appreciate everything they do for us. What is it that drives you to be at Brownstown Speedway every weekend? To be at that to be your home track?
You know, it's the competition level. It's a legendary racetrack. I mean, a lot of people grew up racing there, grew up watching there, or still are fans there. So it's And like a lot of people said, you know, it's hard to win at Brownstown every weekend. It's hard to be consistent over there because there's so many factors into that racetrack. But, you know, I guess that's what it is. It's coming back and wanting to win every weekend and be the best and try to be that consistent factor over there. That every time you pull in the racetrack, they're worried about you outrunning them that night. So
I remember doing a Victory Lane interview with Boatnik last year. And, you know, he was glad he won, of course. You know, you're glad over every win. But he made the comment in Victory Lane that he wished you were there and Gilpin because he said, you know, that just makes the racing so much better. And it feels like it makes him better when – and, you know, he mentioned you by name, you know, Jeremy Owens and Devin Gilpin. He said, when they're all here, he said, that just makes me better and the racing better. And I thought that was very cool that, you know, he's a guy that loves to win but enjoys it when you guys are there to make him get up on, you know –
Exactly, get up on that, you know, get up on the wheel and actually race. And, you know, not saying that not all the competition there is bad, but, you know, we need that other guy over there that's pushing you to get better every weekend, regardless of who that is.
Who's the one guy that you love to race? Like when you're in the lineup shoot and you look over and you're outside and you're like, this is going to be good. Because, you know, that guy's outside of me. Who is that guy?
We think too much alike. That's where I was going as well. I didn't want to say rival because it's not the bad blood, but it's the guy you love to compete against.
It's got to be Jacoby. I mean, we've had so many good races together. You know, I can't even count on one hand how many good races we've had together. But, you know, it had to be when I first got this car. Is at Brownstown. The very next night I came back out with the car after we fixed it, you know, it was a fair race, it might have been. And we did, I don't know how many slide jobs in that feature. Oh, yeah. And I ran off the racetrack on the last lap, coming to the checkered flag. And, you know, that was probably one of my funnest races I've had in a long time. So,
And that helps you. I mean, when you see him, then you know, okay, I have to perform or I'm not going to win this, you know, because you see him lining up out there then, huh?
Exactly. You know, one race that comes to mind last year is Boatnik, me and Jacoby.
Oh, yes.
Racing for the feature win there. You know, you just got to get up on the wheel whenever it comes to that time when you're racing with those guys, because those guys have been racing a lot longer than I have in the modifieds, you know, so they got a lot more experience.
You know, and not just to build on that of who you like to race against every week, but have you had an experience when you were lining up and you looked out the window and you were like, oh my goodness, I'm racing against driver X, you know, that this is pretty cool. This is a guy that, you know, I've got a lot of respect for. I know you said earlier, you know, prior to us taking a break, you would love to get the opportunity to race against Mark Barber. Who's that person though, that you've had so far in 10 years that you're like, man, I'm really racing against this guy?
Man, that's a good question. You know, I would have to say when I was racing Casey's crate late model, you know, I lined up next to Hudson, I think, or I raced Hudson in a heat race, and, you know, we ran side by side, and for not being in the late model that much and going out there and running side by side with Hudson when he was winning about every race over at Brownstown, you know, I was pretty excited, you know, for that race and being able to stay up there with him and not letting him really get away or him, you know, outrunning me by a whole lot. So that was pretty exciting right there.
Well, let me just throw this out there now then. Blomqvist is getting into modified a little bit more than he once was in life. What are you going to do Jackson 100 weekend if he shows up with the modified also?
Now, that would be fun too. Now that'd be an experience to start side by side or anywhere with him on the racetrack. But, yeah, that'd be a good time right there.
Because, you know, it seemed like you never heard of him drive anything but a late model. But now he raced the modified in St. Louis, you know, and he tried last weekend and it rained. So, you know, he's flirting with this modified. So I thought, you know, is he going to bring it to Brownstown when we have Jack's 100 weekend and you know, race it?
Yeah, and you never know about him. You know, he's he'd wait till Friday to put a car together to go race Friday night. But
he wouldn't put it together.
Well, good point. He'd have his guys put it together. They'd just be a little behind the racetrack there. So.
You know, and talking about that a little bit too, the last race weekend we had a couple weeks ago, Tyler Nicely came in, you know, and I went back and watched some of the things, and, you know, Tyler's a pretty good wheel man, there's no doubt, but it was really cool to see you know, starting right behind him, you know, and pushing him a little bit and getting to compete with a guy that, you know, just showed up, you know. And again, Tyler travels all over the place, but came in there just for that night. And Is that exciting when those guys kind of come in and you get to compete against those guys as well?
For sure, because, you know, like Tyler Nicely, you know, Gilpin, those guys of that caliber that race 50, 60, 70 times a year, it's nice when they come in because you kind of see where you're at, I guess, with your program compared to where they're at, because they're racing so much more often than I could race right now. So to line up next to them, see what our car's got, see what we can give them as a run, you know, that makes a big difference, I think.
And, you know, when you talk about that, I think it goes back to what you just said earlier when I asked you the question about why Brownstown. The thing is that these guys, these traveling guys, don't just come into Brownstown and dominate. I know Tyler had a heck of a run 2 weeks ago. There's no doubt. He had his car locked in, but they don't. It's not a hands down you just roll into Brownstown because you're a touring guy and you're going to win. Most of you guys stack up against the national competition no matter who shows up.
Right. It's just they have so much more experience of racing those guys every night, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It's just when they come in. And Tyler, I'm sure, knows, and I'm sure a lot of those other guys know when they come into Brownstown, they got stiff competition with Boatnik and Jacoby and those guys. They know they're not going to come in there and walk away with it either because they still have a lot of experience there they have to deal with.
And those local guys aren't afraid of them. That's the coolest thing I think about Brownstown Speedway. And, you know, I've been to a lot of different speedways, but there's not drivers here that are local that are afraid when anybody rolls in and unloads their car. And, you know, just like you just asked with Bloomquist, if Bloomquist brings the modified to the Jackson 100, no one will be scared when that car unloads either. It's going to be, hey, this is a really cool experience, but I want to park it in Victory Lane and show him that you shouldn't have probably brought it to Brownstown.
Exactly. Any local wants to do that at any racetrack across the country with anybody that shows up that has that kind of experience.
Well, you brought up Jacoby, but this year you got Jeremy. You know, Jeremy's in that 16 car that Victor Lee used to drive there, and you know, that's some good equipment right there that Jeremy's wheeling.
You know, yeah, that's definitely really good equipment. You know, Victor Lee was driving it, you know, that was a hard car to beat at Brownstown too, and Jeremy's going to get to that point too. It's just adjusting to that modified portion from racing late models for the last 7 or 8 years that he's raced them, you know, so it give him time and they'll be hard to beat too over there. So
yeah, you know, and when I, you know, I seen him roll out this year and that, I'm like, holy cow, you know, the modified series has really stepped up. You know, it's pretty deep anyway, but now you know Jeremy running, you know, the crate some and then racing over, you know, in the modifieds, it's like, holy cow, you know.
Yep.
You just can't, when you guys roll out for the feature, you can't say, oh, this is going to be your winner, because it's not going to be that obvious.
No. Definitely.
Well, and I've said this on a previous episode, too. It's also a lot of fun to watch the Hines brothers there together. I mean, it's always intriguing when anybody is, you know, door-to-door, but when it's Jeremy and Jacoby door-to-door, you know, going into the turn, for me personally, that just adds a little bit extra, because I'm like, I know they're both, you know, they're good guys. They'll race each other hard, but it just adds that little extra feature, because you know there's got to be that feeling of, I'm not going to Thanksgiving dinner this year and you talking about how many times you beat me. So
exactly. Well,
a driver never wants to be beat, but they don't want their brother to beat him, definitely. I mean, you got a brother too, you know.
Right.
And I'm sure if you guys race in the same class, you would probably race him harder than anybody on the racetrack.
Oh, for sure.
You know,
for sure.
You know, that's your brother. And you know, he raced Hornets for years. Now in a TQ this year, right?
Yep, running a TQ this year. So,
he's making moves too. Has he thought about ever coming up and racing with you, or you guys just kind of got an agreement? You stay in different classes. So
I don't know. We'll see. You know, it's a long road. He just started, you know, not too many years ago.
Right.
So he's got a long road ahead of him to get wherever he wants to go. So,
and that's, again, you know, we've noticed, you know, it sounds like we repeat ourselves on here a lot, but there's a lot of it too. It's family. You know, it seems like it's racing is about the only sport that is a family affair.
Exactly.
You know, baseball and football, you know, it's great, and you know, kids try to follow that, but it seems like when a family gets involved in racing, you know, just generation after generation, it follows that.
Yeah, because I guess, not unlike sports, yeah, the player's out there, but your driver might be out there still too, but everybody plays such a big part in a race team, you know, because you got to have accountability throughout the week.
Yeah.
And you know, and everybody can play a part in it. Anybody can do anything on a race team. It's not just the driver out there, as it is with sports, where it's just that player getting better. If the team gets better as a race team, the team gets better. So,
and I think you just made a great point, because I think that connection that every team member feels is huge too, because I've said before, my first connection to racing was my dad ran a welding business and a mobile welding business on the side, and there was a guy when we still lived in Illinois who kind of traded him, hey, I'll let you be a sponsor on the car. You show up with your mobile welding trailer on race night. If I need something fixed quick, you're there. I remember being there, and it was cool to me because, you know, my dad's my hero anyway. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, to watch, he was revered differently there than when I went to him with a farm job. A farm job, it's like, come on, man, you got to get this done for us. I got to get in the field. As soon as we walked in there, it was like, he was like a miniature celebrity. And I'm like, this is just my dad. But when a driver needed something welded quick or they needed something fixed, he was the guy. And that to me kind of brought me into this idea that, you know, why I loved racing and why it intrigued me, because you're exactly right. Every team member, and that's why I asked you earlier, who helps you get to the track? Because what we see as fans just on Saturday night is only, you know, 1/5 of what you've done all week to be able to get there.
Exactly.
Hey, I mean, as fans, we see the race cars on Saturday night, you know, where the driver and his family has been around that car every night. You know, I'm sure there's been times you've ate supper off the car because you didn't want to take time to go into the house, you know, so it's been brought out to you, or you know, fast food bag sitting there and you ate while you tried to get stuff done. So, I mean, you work a full-time job, and then racing is a full-time job.
It's a full-time
also.
Job on top of that. You
yeah.
know, we've
yeah.
many a times out in the garage on the race. Michael out there running around playing, and, you know, Cassie bringing us food. So, yeah, definitely.
I'm going to throw this out because, you know, we do have Facebook Live up and going. And first of all, you know, Eric said, hey, guys. So shout out to Eric Bryant there joining us. But, you know, I do see that the young gun, Braden Watson here, has jumped on Facebook Live listening to us. And it when I saw that, it sparked a question. Braden, very well known for, his iRacing, background. Have you dabbled at all in iRacing or anything like that?
I haven't messed around with that much. I remember playing PS2, all those sprint car games
oh, yeah.
and stuff
oh, yeah,
when I was growing up. But yeah. I'm sure the iRacing deal is a lot better.
Yeah, Braden's
than that.
Way younger than us.
Yeah.
I remember the World Outlaw sprint car game. I don't know that there's ever been a better game created than that World of Outlaw sprint car game. Again, no. I lean towards the sprint cars, but that game was unbelievable.
Yeah, I'm not going to say better, but I did the dirt to Daytona on the PS2 a whole lot also.
Yep.
You know,
got that one. Had that one too. So. That's for sure.
Oh, and Staples. JJ, kudos to you, man.
Yeah. You know, before we started, JJ, I'm going to tell you that I told Roller if I knew we was going to go on Facebook Live, I would have wore a shirt with sleeves. So thanks for calling that out on me there, man. Hey,
it's all right. Sun's out, guns out. So, you know, to kind of come back to it, though, you know, and again, I know you understand that you haven't done much with that iRacing. You know, do you think that that's, and again, no, you don't have much of a background, but is that the wave of the future? Is that the opportunity for guys, you know, to see these tracks? Do you think that's something that's going to help some of these young guns? I mean, a lot of guys are going to it and using it.
I mean, any racer, NASCAR or anywhere, is going to tell you that good old testing at a racetrack in your own car is going to be better than anything. But Hendrick and those guys wouldn't have simulators in their shops if they weren't going to be good for them developing people. So, you know, the iRacing might not be the caliper that they have, but it still has similarities and can help somebody, whether it's wintertime staying in the groove or whatever the case may be. I mean, it's got to help. Those guys in NASCAR have it all the time. So
I'm just going to guess that Comiskey doesn't have the internet support for an iRacing setup.
I do have pretty good internet
now.
Yeah, hey.
Surprisingly, I have really good internet.
I'm just going to say it on here in case anybody that works at Jackson County REMC. We are, we're on Facebook Live right now. We're doing a lot of this internet stuff. I'm waiting for Jackson Connect to come hook me up with a little bit faster internet. And, hey, we'd take a great Jackson Connect sponsor to the Throttled Up podcast.
That's right. That's right.
Kick us something back. But, no, I agree with you. And, I think the first time that it really stood out to me was, and it's been maybe a year or two ago. It's maybe not even that long ago, but I remember that NASCAR did a segment with Gordon getting in a simulator. And I don't know if he was out of the car yet at that point or not, But I remember him talking about getting in the simulator, and I may have been at Darlington or something like that, but him talking about how detailed the simulator was, and this is the same deformed patch of asphalt that I'm used to, that's when I hit my brakes and I come into the corner this direction. It was amazing to me for him to sit there and talk about, you know, this is the same scuff on the wall that I remember, that this is when I set that. So for these guys, yeah, I would think that's got to be, and I agree with you, during the season, I don't think there's anything better than that. But in the wintertime, you know, to get a feel for a track and keep turning laps, I think it's probably going to be a little bit of the wave of the future.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But I'm going to throw this out there, too. You talked about, you know, the track really doesn't change a whole lot for a NASCAR guy. I mean, from
his
heat race to the feature, it could be two totally different racetracks.
And
then it changes again during the feature. Right. You know, that's...
And if Braden is still paying attention to us here on Facebook Live, comment back to me, Braden, because I don't know enough about iRacing. If when you're doing the dirt tracks, is there that change? Is it a consistent dirt track, or can you get a tacky wet track? Can you get a slick track? That would be something interesting to me. And I know, again, Braden is supposedly paying attention to us, gave us some shout outs there and some thumbs up. But if you're still listening, tell us that, because that's something that's interesting to me. If that kind of changes.
What's all that on there?
I don't know what that is. I don't know. You're asking me a lot of questions about Facebook Live already. And, you know, Matt, you should know me well enough to know when I do something, I just jump in and we see how it comes out.
And I've realized that I'm the guy that just jumps in with you, you know.
Yeah, that's how we ended up here right now.
Yeah, you know, and some of you on Facebook Live that don't listen to our podcast, that is, our offices are side by side, and, you know, he starts the podcast with his wife, you know, the Married with Children podcast, and he walks into my office and says, hey, let's do a racing podcast. And those of you that do know me, it's like, okay, let's do this. You know, this will be fun. So that, and then here we are. What, this is episode 9 now?
10.
Oh, episode 10.
Yeah, that's kind of why I thought let's throw it out to Facebook Live. I mean, we're at an anniversary episode here at number 10. So, you know, some exciting stuff. So,
10th episode, 10th year anniversary of racing. I mean, look at that.
And a guy who came on and said, I've listened to every episode as I came on. So not just a driver, but a fan.
Yeah, we appreciate it,
for sure.
It's kind of like the old hair club for men, you know. I'm not just the president, I'm a client. And Joe Hartwell just joined, so I'm sure he'll make a comment about the hair club for men and myself. Good thing I could wear a hat tonight. So, but Jeremy, going forward into this year, what? And I know we're not as far into the year as what we all would have probably hoped with the rainouts that we got in March and April, but what was the goal going into this year? What did you hope to accomplish this year?
You know, really, I was pretty much dead set on I wasn't run points anywhere. I wanted to branch out. I want to go see some different racetracks. You know, that's the kind of the reason we went to Bloomington last Friday, just to get out and try some different things. I definitely want to get to Eldora sometime this year. Want to head over to Illinois, hit a couple of those big AMS races, and just kind of see where we're at with this car and see what the future kind of holds for us there. So
this year kind of just a feeling out year for where you're going to go next year and in the future.
Yeah, just see how many races we can win, see what we can stack up against some good competition. So,
well, let me Johnny Appleseed is the last Sunday of this month, and I would love to, I go over there that race every year, so I would love to see the double zero roll out over there for that.
Yeah, for sure. That's actually the race I was thinking about going. It just depends on who I can get set up to go over there with me and see what we got. So,
well, I believe me and Dustin are going. So, I mean, I don't know how much help we would be, but we would be moral support for you if we went that day.
Yeah,
so.
And I could probably bring a microphone and we could talk. Yeah. I mean, I'm really good at talking.
Do a little interview.
Yeah, outside of that, we won't have much else. You know,
if you tell me what tire to change for, I could do that. But, I don't know, you know, setups or anything like that. But if you just need two guys to do some grunt work, I know two guys. So,
you know, and when we talk about that, when you go into a week and you're kind of looking at the setup portion of it, if you've ran well the week before, do you tweak things? Do you look to change things? Or do you – and I'm not asking for the secrets, but – are you pretty status quo, or do you say, you know, I'm going to try and, you know, look ahead and see what the racetrack's going to be like? I want to try this. How do you kind of figure that out through the week?
You know, really this year I've took on a whole new meaning of taking notes, I guess, on this car. But a lot of it goes back to, I'll call Brad Irwin throughout the week and we'll bounce ideas back and forth on each other just to kind of see what we can try this weekend, what we think would work good. I'll call him in the middle of the day. I'll have an idea pop in my head, be like, hey, what about this? What do you think this will do? And that's just kind of where we've been at, I guess, is just trying new things, testing, trying to get better. And it kind of hurt us a couple weekends ago at Brownstown when I ran off the racetrack. We tried to get too good and went the wrong way after the heat race after being real good in the heat. So we kind of got to step back a little bit. But it's status quo up to a point of whenever my ideas quit running through my mind.
And does that ever happen until you've cinched the belts up and the green flags drop?
And then you're still thinking about what you could have did. But, yeah, at that point in time, you're just focused on trying to make the best finish as you can with what you have there. So
I was thinking of when you roll out there and think, man, I wish I hadn't decided to do that, you know.
And that sometimes happens too, but you just got to roll with it at that point in time. So,
you know, and what do you think that balance is for you, you know, as far as setup versus – your ability to drive, you know, and I'm not knocking what you are as a wheel man, because I've already shared my bias. I think, you know, I'm a fan of Jeremy Owens, but do you feel like that, you know, even when the car's off, that you can adjust your driving style and still wheel it a little bit?
Yeah, I think so. It really comes down to a certain point of what needs to happen. Obviously, some things that you change, you might be really horrible. And just might, there's no hope for you at that point in time. But, you know, at a certain point, you can make the best finish out of it that you can and come in and reevaluate the situation and go forward.
Is that not as frustrating when you can sit and say, all right, we just made a bad move, bad setup, we can come back next week, then when you've got the good car and you feel like you may have made a mistake on the racetrack, as you just said, when you ran off the racetrack, is that harder to deal with than a setup miscue?
For sure. Because you're at that point, you put it all the blame on yourself. You had the best car you've had, and you made the mistake, not anything else that you've done. So,
well, and it comes back to you talking earlier about being that competitor, and you know you've got this team behind you and these sponsors. And I've got to think as you roll back into the, you know, pit lane, it's got to be like, oh my goodness, I did this or something. And again, that's not a knock on you in any way, shape, or form, but you know, that's one of those lives of racing. And
yeah, because you feel like, especially after you have a good car or you got all those guys that's working hard for you throughout the week, through, you know, you got your family at home that's sacrificing for you to be out in the garage, and you come in after you had a good car and you made a mistake, you feel like you let them down. That's the worst thing any competitor has to deal with, is feeling like they let their team down whenever you're out there trying to give it your all and trying to bring home the win. So
I think I know the answer to this, but do you prefer to run the top of the track, the bottom of the track, or just wherever the car hooks up? I mean, do you have a preference when you roll out there?
Really? The middle is a go-to for me at Brownstown. For some reason, I've won a lot of races in the middle of that racetrack over there at Brownstown, but here lately, it's been right around the top. I'd probably say middle to top for me, especially at Brownstown, is where my car likes to be. It used to be the bottom whenever it was different banking and stuff, right. but now it's about middle to top is where my car likes to be, where I like to drive.
And I know Heyman brought this up, you know, last week when we interviewed him, that he don't like it when they run down, you know, they push the tires in for the feature, you know, you give you guys more racetrack for the feature, and then, you know, they throw all the, you know, the trash up the race, you know, the marbles and stuff, and it kind of jacks up the upper lines. Do you notice that too in the feature?
Yeah, because, you know, it's good you get another lane of racetrack down there, but it also hurts the guys if you don't have a bunch of guys running the high side too, to keep that cleaned off. That way, right, you have two lines of racing. So yeah, it does hurt sometimes.
Because I ask him, and I'm going to ask you, would you prefer that the tires are just left out, or they were pushed in early, to where the whole track could get ran in the same, and kind of the marbles are gone before feature time comes?
I think leaving the tires in and letting the racetrack stay the way it is all night long. Not so much leaving the tires out, but push them in, give it a wide racetrack in the corners, and let that track clean up. Let it get black slick. Get it cleaned
from top
up
to bottom.
That way you got that four wide racing. Everybody's pretty much at that level. It's what your car can do.
Yeah,
you know. So let it get slick. It provides a lot better racing and a lot easier on equipment that way.
And you know, Brown sounds pretty wide, but I'm amazed when you guys came out of the corner.
Oh my gosh,
four
yeah.
wide, like oh, you said. Yeah. You know, it's
yeah. You can come out of there four wide. I've been there before. That's for sure.
What's that like, though? And again, for a guy that's never been in a race car, what's that like coming off the corner and being, you know, four wide and wondering how this is all going to shake out?
Depends on where you're at in that four wide. If you were already there when the fourth guy joined, or if you're the fourth guy that's joining that party. But if you're the fourth guy joining that party, you're hoping to get through that as quick as you can. That way you can move on.
Because, you feel like you got to run and I'm going to make it happen. Yeah,
yeah, you're going to run in there and you're trying to get away from those guys. That way you can get some free racetrack going. So
have you been in the three wide situation and then that fourth guy joins in and you think, this ain't going to work when we get at the end of the straightaway? I really, you know, I need to get ahead of him or get behind him one, just because if not, yeah. I'm going to be, you know, on a hook.
Yeah, because you, not saying that you don't know what that guy is going to do, but there might be a hole down there that he gets ready to hit and bumps everybody else and causes a big crash.
Right.
I mean, any factors could be into that. So it's kind of, it goes both ways, I guess. It could be a scary situation, or it could be you're racing against four guys for the lead and you know what they're going to do, and it could be fun at that point in time too. So,
and I'm sure, you know, you're two laps into the feature and you're four wide for fourth place compared to you're coming out of two on the white flag lap and you're four wide. I'm sure you're thinking differently. You know, maybe lap two, you're probably thinking, I'm just going to back out, let these guys figure it out, and then I'm going to try it again. And on that white flag lap, there is no backing out.
There is no backing out at that point. But at that second lap, you're thinking, there's 20 laps, 18 laps left. Let's let this situation fend for itself and then try to save our equipment for the end of the race.
We did have a comment here. I want to throw it back out a little bit to Facebook Live. Eric Bryant commented in and said, the track surface on iRacing changes a lot during the race. It slicks up, and it's a lot like a real track. So it can be wet to begin with and then changes as the race goes on. So pretty impressive stuff. I had no idea that iRacing was
I didn't realize it did that either.
That actually accurate. So
I'll give a big shout out to It Ain't Easy Being Wheezy, Jaden Mahan there. He said slick tracks make for great racing there. So
sure do.
Well, that's always the best, is when you can get a good slick track to slide around a little bit on. And I do want to take a quick second here, and I pulled this up just to throw out a congratulations, because I know we got some kids at Jennings County High School that listened to the podcast. And actually, it was funny, Joe Hartwell's on here, and Joe Hartwell told me the other day that one of the kids asked me if I was the guy rapping at the beginning of the podcast. So that is not the case. I talk during the beginning, but I don't rap. But really cool thing that I just want to kind of throw out, and Brayden Day, one of our teachers that teaches our transportation class, they actually they were involved in the National Electric Go-Kart Race. They actually raced on Tuesday at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and there were 20 teams that competed from around the nation. And there's this whole rubric that they get graded on based on, like, you know, their ability to present their stuff and the whole thing.
Yeah. They're actually judged on the academic side of things,
Yes. In the academic challenge, our group placed from Jennings County placed second in community outreach, third in energy efficiency, and fifth in design review. The carts were really, really fast in the race. Actually, in practice, I got a text early in the morning and was very excited. They actually basically passed everything on the track, but then had pulled too much amperage off the batteries and actually were black flagged. So they had to make some adjustments. Went out to run. They were running third in the championship race and got rear-ended and knocked out of the race. And they reported that was just racing. But in the second race, they probably would have won it, but one of the other drivers didn't realize the yellow flag was out and ran over them a second time. So, unfortunately, both of our carts got ran over in the race, and we finished eighth overall in the nation, and that was with no race points actually coming in. If we could have actually finished both races, it looks like we'd have probably been in the top three overall. So, you know, I just wanted to take the chance to kind of throw this out to Mr. Day, and also throw it out to, you know, Decatur Mold.
Alan Magner, that's what I'm going to say. You know, Alan Magner has raced go-karts, modified, super late model, you know, Indiana Pro late model. And I know Alan Magner is very, very involved in our electric go-kart program. So I do want to shout out to Alan on that too.
Absolutely. Alan Magner and Decatur Mold, Beely Electric came on and did a huge, you know, sponsorship for it. Also Lynch Machining. Lynch Machining jumped on and did a ton. And I will say this, you know, and I'm going to take the time to say this real quick. Sometimes I think Jennings County gets a bad rap on the community they are. Between Lynch Machining and Decatur Mold and Beely Electric and all of the sponsors that were there, and now I'm going to do exactly what I told you not to do. I don't have all the sponsors memorized, so I'm going to forget some. But our group rolled up there with two carts, you know, fully lettered, fully stickered out.
Only ones with side pods on them.
Full meal deal. I mean, you couldn't beat them. Brand new toolboxes, full tool sets, two tool sets. I mean, you know, they even bought laser alignment tools to check our kids. And this is something we're going to continue to race in every year. But, you know, just a huge shout out for those guys. And again, we talk a lot about this. I wanted to bring it up. And because we talk a lot about how do we get kids more interested in racing. And I was so excited when we started this program. And I think it's a really, really cool deal because we've got, you know, two classes full of kids that now have experienced the karting side of it. And, you know, I'm hoping that they'll come out to the dirt tracks. I'm hoping they'll see what racing can do. And, you know, having Alan involved in that is huge. You know, Alan's talked about what he's doing on Saturday nights, and we get another generation started.
And I would love to get it to where maybe we could get that group of kids to come to Brownstown one night. You know, one night when the super late models are racing, maybe let them come in and watch what Alan races. You know, he went and watched, you know, helped with them and watched what they did. And, you know, like you said, that might hook, you know, those 10 or 12 kids that might hook 10 or 12 more. Because, I mean, exactly. You know how it was, Jeremy, you know.
Chain reaction.
When you went to the races, you wanted your buddies to go. Your buddies wanted to go with you. And, you know, we need to work on keeping this sport growing because it seems like, you know, the gearheads and the motorheads aren't like they were years ago. You know, a lot of kids, if they can't look at a computer, they're not interested in nothing at all. And I'm like you know, Dustin, I think this opens this sport back up to another generation. You know, it's in a different way, but at least that gets them in the door where they can decide where to go after that.
Absolutely. And I think the cool thing is, and I think some kids are figuring that out, as I talked to Mr. Day, was looking at the way they built the team, he said, you know, we went and found some kids that maybe normally wouldn't be interested in racing, but they're really big computer minds. And they were, you know, they were running lap times. They were checking how many, you know, how much battery we were using. Where were we strong at? And he goes, they were doing all that data piece, but he said they fell in love with racing because of that. And I think it was kind of that idea that they didn't realize that how technologically advanced racing has gotten. And it's not just in electric go-karts. I mean, it's funny. We before you got here, Jeremy, we pulled up some old pictures from the early 90s of some late models and some different races. And what you guys are in now, the technology has advanced since the early 90s, which, I mean, I was only like 5 or 6 years old, so a lot has advanced. But
I was graduated high school.
I don't know who that says more about, the fact that I hang out with you all the time and that you're the best friend I can find, or the fact that I'm not going there.
You keep me young, man. That's what it is.
You know, the technology you guys are dealing with just continues to advance all the time.
Yeah, it's never ending, it seems like. It seems like every day they come out with something that could help you. Or, you know, and Don Adams says it best at Lightning Chassis, you know, you don't need all the fancy parts to go fast. You just need the right parts on your car.
That's a great quote.
To make sure you're there, you know, and he builds cars for a living, you know, and he knows best, but you got to have the right stuff. Whatever it might be, you just have to have the right stuff that fits your race car or whatever.
Since you've already called me old, I'll just continue on this. You know, when I was a kid going to the races in the 70s, you know, a whole decade before you were born,
Yeah, I don't know anything about that.
You know, I'm pretty confident, you know, when they was coming out to race at Brownstown, they weren't worried, really worried about the caster and the camber and, you know, what the pinion angle on the rear end was. You know, it, back then it was knock the windows out of it, weld the cage in it, you know, hand paint some numbers on the door, and let's go racing. And that stuff you probably check every week is what the caster and camber of your front end is, and, you know, has any of the angles changed? You know, your shock. I mean, it seems like shocks are the hugest thing in racing now. And you would think racing on an old bumpy dirt track, shocks would be your last thing to worry about. But, like, you know, a lot of the drivers I talk to, that is, like, one of the most important things is what shock you have on each corner of the thing.
Yep, anymore it's shock technology. That's what makes you go around the racetrack. So,
well, I think you made a good point there with that quote. And you may be able to remember, we had a driver on, and I apologize that I don't want to give credit to the wrong person. But they talked about, you know, the tough thing is, actually, it may have been Joe Hartwell, to be honest. He may have been talking about his dad and him kind of going back and forth. The tough thing is to limit yourself from wanting to change multiple things. You know,
it was Joe. Yes.
And that's after I started, I kind of remembered that. But, you know, the idea that, you know, this new technology comes out and in the off season, I'm going to add this and this and this and this. Well, then I don't know what made me fast. You know, I don't know what to change. So kind of trying to temper yourself to do a little bit at a time has to be tough, too.
Yeah, because, you know, like they said in their interview, you know, they won't throw the kitchen sink at it some nights. But it's you gotta refrain yourself from trying to do too much at one time. That way you can trace back your successes to what you changed.
Absolutely.
But technology also is kind of a positive. Also, I remember, you know, when I helped Torrey Collins and – you know, when I helped Keith Deppe, you know, the walls of the trailer would be full of shocks, you know, and now you guys don't have to buy that many shocks because all the adjustment is in that shock now. And so I'm going to give credit there. You know, at one time, you know, you went to Pro Shock or Penske Shock or, you know, Bilstein, and he's like, I want one of everything because I don't know what I'm going to need.
Right.
Now you can really, you know, you don't have to have that whole wall of shocks and still get all those adjustments.
And that's the good thing about the late models, because you have that. See, the modifieds, they still limit us. We can't have adjusters on ours. So, you know, we're still limited to buying. If we're going to change shock, we need to go buy this other shock.
Right.
But the late models have that advantage. You know, they could have four shocks and just kind of get a parameter of what they want and then switch rebound compression that way. Yeah. So if they'd opened up in other classes, it would save a little bit of money in the long run. Because you could figure out, you can fine-tune your shocks that way instead of buying multiple $100 shocks to try to figure out what you want.
And then with you wanting to travel a little bit and try, you know, you might go to a racetrack you haven't been to and then realize, I don't have a shock in the trailer that fits this racetrack.
Yeah. Or go out there and this ain't going to work. We got to get something different on here to get it to go fast. So,
yeah.
I'm waiting on you.
I just finished one, man.
I do want to throw this out to you as an offer. And I've thrown it out to every driver that's been on. It's usually off air, but he pushed the pressure back on me here. And I was thinking about shocks. You talked about wanting to go to some other racetracks. And one thing that we want to try and do is do some as we get into the actual summer and we get a little more time. Do some bonus episodes here of Throttled Up. And one thing is, if you do find a chance that you're going to the Johnny Appleseed or you're going to a track in Illinois, or you're going somewhere, Bloomington on a Friday night, let us know. We'd love to come along with you. If it's a night that Matt can too. And we'd kind of like to do for the fans kind of a, you know, a full day of what Jeremy Owens goes through getting to the track and getting home. And I know that can sound a little bit daunting. And after spending the night with us and all of the technical stuff we've had, you may say, there's no way I'm calling these guys back. But I think it'd be really cool for the fans to see, you know, and I've told guys, I'll show up when you're ready to load. I'll help you any way I can, but we can do some, you know, some spot interviews about, hey, we're at the shop, we're getting things loaded. This is what we're thinking. This is a drive over, you know, here we are unloading. Here's hot laps. Here's where we're going out and, you know, heat races, here's the feature, and then here's kind of the reaction and coming back. And I think for a fan and going back to, and even maybe to the point of coming out some through the week as you guys are working in the shop, to go back to that fan that just shows up at, you know, 6 o'clock on Saturday night, not knocking that fan, we want them there, that doesn't truly see what it takes for you guys to get to the racetrack, I think it'd be a really cool episode to kind of get a, you know, a behind the scenes of what you guys do.
Yeah, for sure. Anytime.
And I would love for it to be a night that Brownstown isn't racing, so I could go too with him, you know.
So I'm inviting myself to a lot of people's parties.
Right.
But that's okay. I don't mind doing that. So if you are interested, definitely hit us up, because I think it'd be a really cool thing for us, and definitely something where we could continue to throw out to the sponsors and kind of promote them.
Exactly.
Because, when we started this, you know, our goal was to, you know, promote the local driver that, you know, doesn't get the exposure on everything, and, you know, to get you guys more exposure, get your sponsors more exposure, and this is our attempt at dragging more people into this sport that we're all crazy about, you know. So that's
exactly,
you know.
I'm going to come back full circle, and I'm going to put some pressure on you here and throw a question to you. Obviously, in the modified right now, going to kind of reach out this season, kind of see where you're at. Is the ultimate goal to stay in the modified, or are we going to look towards jumping somewhere else at some point?
I mean, I think everybody's ultimate goal is to move up to the highest level that they could compete at. It's just all about funding anymore. Funding is, you know, 90% of it. You got to have the 10% talent, which doesn't sound like a lot, but 90% of it gets you there. 10% of it's how much work or how hard work you put in to stay at that level.
And that 10% is a small margin between those guys. Yes. Agree with you 100%.
Yeah, so funding would have to be in that. Obviously, I'd love to move up if the opportunity comes right, or, you know, I meet the right sponsor along the road. Not saying that my sponsors ain't the right sponsors, but, you know, they do a lot for me. It's just to bear that financial burden to get started again, because right now I'm already invested. I'm invested in all the modified stuff. I would have to move all that, and the car is not coming out of my garage. It's not getting sold. It'd be hanging in my shop until my son takes it wherever he wants to take it, but that thing's not going nowhere. So
I know you drive in a full containment seat, and what's your thoughts on the safety side of the racing? I see a lot of cars, you know, go past me there at Brownstown, and not all of them, you know, have those nice seats and all that. Do you really think that we need to focus on that side of racing? You know,
safety needs to be top priority. I've been luckily enough, last wreck I got into was probably one of my worst, and I flipped over before. So I would say safety needs to be top priority. If you're racing a car right now and you don't have a full containment seat and you don't have a Hans device, after $2,000 worth of medical bills, I'd say get one, because it's not worth waking up dizzy every morning and trying to figure out what's wrong with you whenever you just had a bad wreck and not going to the doctor and not having that Hans device.
Because I remember there was a little bit of a blowback when, you know, Eldora sort of mandated in the plate in the door. And so if you went to a racetrack and they said, you know, we mandate this safety, you know, this safety thing, it's available here, but we mandate it, you're like, okay, I understand, you know, that.
I would understand that piece, because that safety feature came along because something happened to somebody along the way. So, yeah, doing a lot hurts racing because it's a financial burden on those guys, and they're trying to make their cars good. But at the same time, my dad always told me, you know, buy a good helmet, because it's how much you think your head's worth. It don't matter if that helmet's $200 or you're buying a $400 or $500 helmet. How much is your head worth? Buy a good helmet.
Yeah. It's a great point. There's a guy that we work with whose boys used to race dirt bikes. And he said, I went to go buy helmets, and the first helmet the guy pulled up, and he said it was a $400 helmet, dirt bike helmet. And the guy said, he looked at him and goes, what other options do you have? And the salesman looked at him and said, you mean your son's head's not worth $400? And he's like, and I walked out with two $400 helmets. Because you're exactly right. You know, when you look at it that way, that's not where you skimp on things. And I think it is. And we've talked to some other guys on here. It's tough because, like we talked about, the technology that's coming out, the shocks, you know, the things you can do to try and be better, that balance between, you know, oh, man, I'm going to invest in being faster. But it's the faster you get, the more dangerous you get, and to not invest back in the safety part is a failure in the end.
Yes, for sure. I think more tracks need to do more checking seat belts and things of that nature, because there's guys out there that I mean, I could say, for instance, I was, and I'm not going to say no names, but I was at Brownstown one night and watched some guy strap a piece of concrete block in his car to make weight with a ratchet strap. So, I mean,
yeah, and then that comes flying out.
Yeah,
while you guys
so
are racing,
I mean,
yeah.
And there needs to be a lot more on the safety portion of just looking those things over. Not so much throwing a guy out for having seatbelts that might be 3, 4, or 5 years old, but making sure that they're not frayed and they're in good condition.
Mm-hmm. And where they're mounted to, you know, I've, you know, years ago, you know, when I was in the pits a lot more than I am now, you kind of stroll around and you would see seatbelts mounted to stuff like, you know, back in the days, you know, some, you know, other classes, they'd be mounted to the floor pan of the car.
Yeah.
And you're like, that moves, you know,
exactly.
And that guy felt like it was great. Like, you know, there was no issue with that. So, you know, I agree with you. You know, we all know racing's dangerous. I think sometimes that's some of the thrill of being a race car driver is I get to go fast and it's a little dangerous, you know, because
right.
We all kind of like that thrill. But, we, you know, the racetrack and all the, you know, employees, you know, every racetrack needs to make sure you guys are safe while you're doing that for our entertainment. You know, yep. That's I mean, that's just my opinion there. You know, I try not to throw opinions out, but
nothing hurts a sport more than the injuries. I mean, that's the whole thing. We've talked about before, not only losing a guy, I mean, the ultimate, you know, we've talked about Brian Clausen on here and you know, how that, you know, his rise was ended way too early. But also the idea of just losing a guy the next week, you know, if you're injured and you're out for the next 3, 4, 5 weeks trying to recover, that hurts the race fan that comes that wants to watch Jeremy Owens get around the track. And
exactly.
So the safer we can make guys, you know, the more emphasis that we can put on race safety is definitely a huge thing for us going forward.
And Jade Mahan made a comment here that
I was glad you pointed that out because I just read that.
You know, the Breeze Jerry Adams says that he believes that his full containment seat has made him a faster driver due to feeling safer and more attached to the car. Do you notice that too, Jeremy?
Yeah, especially when I got this new seat a couple years ago, which I had a full containment seat before that, but, you know, I got a LaJoy seat now, and that thing hugs you. You don't even, I mean, in that wreck, I didn't feel anything. It was just my neck hurt from not having a Hans device. But, yeah, those seats make you lose a lot of side-to-side vision, but I'll sacrifice that for safety going forward, for sure.
And, you know, if, you know, Dustin talks about wanting to get his son racing when he gets older, and you know, I would love to see a kid in a race car, but I think that's where I would probably be slow on the racetrack as we started out before we were invested like you are, because that would probably be my first investments would be,
mm-hmm.
you know, seats, Honda devices, helmets.
Yep.
You know, anymore, I'm to the point that I don't know why you guys in any class doesn't wear the arm restraints, you know, or a window net. You know, I would ask for one or the other because, you know, that your left side's right there, you know, that it could come out and, you know, you could crush your arm too. So, you know, I would if I was a guy that had to say, I would, you know, put a window net in or arm restraint, one or the other, you're going to have that, you know, so.
Yep.
And you talked about if you did jump to a different class, the idea that car would be sitting there waiting on your son. Is that a goal for you that he'll want to get in and get involved?
Yeah, I mean, obviously I want to race as long as I can. But if he wants to get in a race car, yeah, for sure. Main reason I want that car just sitting around is, you know, me and Brad Irwin built that car. It was actually bolted to my garage floor whenever we started building that thing 3 years ago. So regardless if we build a new car or whatever, that car's still getting hung up somewhere because it's kind of I guess it's a materialistic possession that
it's nostalgia.
I'd like to hang on to it for as long as I can, at least. So
and I agreed, and I want you to race as long as you can as well. But how old is your son?
He'd be 4 this year.
All right. We're in the same boat. You just, as funny as it is, you just saw my son right out here in his underwear to tell me good night. So, and we've already talked about that off the air. We're in very similar situations because mine just turned 4 in May. When are you going to start thinking about, because I've talked about it on here and I don't come from that racing background and don't have the driver in the family or anything like that. When are you going to start thinking about how do I get him involved? How do I get him started?
You know, that's a good question, because there's I got friends that, you know, started their kids out in carts, things of that nature. But, you know, one good lesson, though, is, you know, when I started out, I had my dad. When he passed away, I didn't. My brother is going through the same thing. We got to pay for our own stuff. So I kind of would like him to start out early just to get that, maybe get that opportunity, because anymore, the younger you are, the farther you can go, mm-hmm. the quicker you get started. Mm-hmm. But also have that kind of, I guess,
grind
responsibility and everything of getting out there and working on your car and getting it ready and paying for some stuff, you know, that kind of nature, to try to instill that hard work, I guess, into that. Because it's going to take hard work at whatever level you're at. So,
what's your wife think about that? You know, it's... Let's just talk about the elephant in the room. You know, what's mom think about?
I think my wife is still listening to the Facebook Live. We don't have to talk a lot about that, because I've said on previous episodes, I made a mistake and took her to a sprint car race and said, this is what I want my kid to drive. And then I think she just turned the light on, so yeah. She's probably not paying attention. So
yeah, I think she just let you know she's listening to you.
Yeah, so. Yeah, one flip multiple times, and she looked at me and said, this is really what you want to put our kid in? And I'm like, well, kind of.
That was one thing Cassie said no. Cassie said no on me getting in one, even though I'd like to get in one at least once and try it. But definitely to stay away from the, because the risk isn't, the reward risk factor there is not great.
And I know, and that's where I struggle, because I love my son so dearly, and I love watching sprint cars race. And it's funny, because Tim Clark's wife works in our office, and it's funny that we had this conversation in our office the other day, and I was talking to Debbie, and I said, man, I want my son in a sprint car, and I talked about that, and she laughed, and she said, all the racing that Tim did, she said, and I supported him, went to the track for all these years, all of his success. She said, there was one time he came home and said, somebody wanted him to drive a sprint car. And she said, no. She said, that's where I put my foot down. Yeah. She said, you've called them widow makers your entire life. You're not getting in one. I refuse to allow you to. This is where I'm putting my foot down on it. And it was shocking to me, because, I told her, I said, I've refused my wife to be able to talk to Debbie Clark. And I joke, because I would never want to put my son in a situation that's dangerous. But there is that intrigue, man, because that's where I grew up and watching it. And I love those things. But they are they're a scary bunch at times.
Yeah, they're a different animal, that's for sure.
Would you ever like to – she wouldn't even let you, like, you know, Sunday after the Enduro's a fun fest. It's such a fine someone. You go out there and just turn some hot laps by yourself. Would she let you do that, or is it just no?
Maybe. I'm not sure. I mean, that'd be the time I would talk her into it. But
does it have to be kind of like a Jason Heyman when you were the car owner? Is it got to be, we got to announce somebody else is coming out?
Yeah, don't watch, because I'm sure it's not going to be pretty. But I'd rather be on a tacky racetrack where you could get the full feeling. That's for sure, because that's the only way to really know what it has, I guess.
And that's the big change in racing now. And we've touched base on this, is, you know, years ago, you either liked late models, race late models, or you liked sprint cars or race sprint cars. And I'll tell you, we're getting a hybrid, you know, deal now. You know, Hudson O'Neill, you know, raced the Chili Bowl, and, you know, he's got some sprint car dates lined out. You know, and when we had Josh Moffat on here, you know, he talked about he would love to get down to dirt late model one time. And years ago, that was a conversation you would never hear. Right. You know, a sprint car driver would never say, I want to drive a dirt late model. Yep. So I don't know if it's a technology that has raised this up that is starting to intrigue both sides, or what it is. But
I think it comes down to a racer just wants to race. You know, like Hudson racing the Chili Bowl and stuff, that'd be awesome. I'd love to go do that. You know, that'd be fun just to try. Just say you went out there and did
it.
You might not be good, but it would be fun to take that trip and go experience that one time. So
definitely.
I'm gonna give a shout out here again to Facebook Live and jump on, because I appreciate the guys that have followed us, and Ben Givens just threw this out, and Loud and Loose Racing, which is Lucas Wee Miller and Braden Watson, and Lucas has been on and been a great friend of Throttled Up the Podcast. Go check them out, follow their Facebook page. They just also released a heck of a new website, loudandlooseracing.com. So go give those guys a follow, check them out. You know, I appreciate everything they did. They're doing right now, and what they're trying to bring to the sport. And again, we talked about earlier in an earlier episode when Wehmiller Express threw out the extra money to get to the $10,000 for the No Way Out as we sit here and talk about sprint cars. So yeah, shout out to those guys.
Ben, are you guys going to the Johnny Appleseed? Because I know Lucas has raced the Johnny Appleseed before. That's why I didn't know if you guys was going this year.
We'll see if he gives us a comment back, because, I mean, we may have a whole Brownstown coalition over there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Very well could have.
It could be thrown up to podcast.
Eldora,
yeah.
Yeah.
Modified drivers at Eldora. I mean, that'd be pretty cool. You know, we could bounce between a couple of them.
Yeah,
I'm
in.
Jeremy to go and Wee Miller and then Braden go and...
Yeah, I think that's – I think now we've just called him out. Ben, it's no longer a question.
You got to go.
Loud and Loose Racing is going to Eldora for the Johnny Appleseed. So we've already decided to call Lucas and tell him we said it's happening.
And then we'll get Jeremy to go, and, yeah, we'll get you guys all together. And
because I believe Lucas told us when he was on he'd do anything he could to help us out. So
he did say that.
Johnny Appleseed. But, you know, hey, we're at about an hour and a half, which is actually not true. We're almost at 2 hours because it took me 30 minutes to get everything to work right. Jeremy, I want to say a couple things. First of all, thank you. Thank you for what you continue to do for the sport, because, you know, Matt gets to kind of work in it, but I also get the opportunity. I'm just a fan, man, and that's why I wanted to do this. You know, I get the opportunity. I was reading that as I was doing this. And almost said Johnny Appleseed, but the opportunity to meet guys like you in a way that I didn't when I just got to sit in the stands. So keep up what you're doing. You know, I appreciate you coming out here and making the drive for us to be on the show. And I apologize about the technical issues and all the things that happened. And I hope you'll come back at some other point this season, sit down and talk with us some more.
Yeah, sure. Love to anytime. So
let me, JJ asked which was better, World 100 or Johnny Appleseed. World 100 is late models only. Only late models over for World 100. But Johnny Appleseed, you'll have late models, modifieds, and super stocks racing over there. So, but the World 100 is only for the late models. And then Ben says that he's trying to get Wehmiller to go, but Braden is too young to race at Eldora. So Loud and Loose will only be a one-car team that night.
And that's all right. Wehmiller, I think, is loud and loose enough. I think he can get her done.
And then I want to add what you said. You know, the reason I announce at Brownstown Speedway is because I'm a fan of the sport too.
Yeah, and that's very true. I shouldn't have thrown that at you that way.
You know, it's I never had the opportunity to drive. You know, I've helped several drivers, you know, in the pits, and then the guys I helped kind of, you know, took years off, so I kind of got out of helping in the pits. And this is my way to give back to my sport. You know, you give it back by jumping in that seat and putting on a show. And the only way I can think of doing it is going up there and being the idiot yelling in the microphone, you know. So that's – but it's because I'm a fan.
I want to point out Ben said we'll be there. He's going to make it happen. He's going to make sure of it. So, you know, shout out to Ben. I appreciate it. You know, just tell Lucas Throttled Up said he's got to be there. So, done deal. Best of luck. And again,
hey, let's yell them sponsors out one more
time.
Yeah,
why don't you throw those out for us?
Oh, definitely. Got to thank, you know, we talked about Brad Irwin earlier. You know, that guy does a lot for me, more than I could for sure ever repay him for. So I got to give a lot of credit to him, because he's helped me out a lot and pushed me to where I am today. So, you know, definitely one of my better friends, and always enjoy his company whenever he's around. So, Gilpin Electric and Generator, All Star Paving, Pewter Hall, Wagner 28 Motorsports, Jeff Mounts Motorsports, Travis Kern for the racing engine. He helps me out a lot as well when it comes to those. P3 Graphics, Genesis Racing Shocks, Ride Auto Parts. And you just got to thank Cassie. You know, my fiance, you know, puts up with a lot of me in the shop and me being angry and in a cruddy mood sometimes whenever things don't go right. So, you know, I got to thank her for putting up with me all these years of doing what I love to do on the weekends. So, definitely shout out goes to her.
And very, you know, very good call right there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And you brought up Brad Irwin. You know, when I do walk through the pits now, I see a whole lot of Brad Irwin customs for the bodies. You know, he's still a very, very busy man.
Oh, yeah.
You know, in racing.
Yeah, so he loves doing those bodies, and he's got a lot of them out there. He does good work, quality work for sure.
We got two doors coming. When we started this, we wanted to get two throttled up doors to have all you guys sign when you got here, so we could have kind of a memento of all of our guests.
And right.
I think Brad's been so busy, he ain't got to, because I told him, I said, when you're not busy, you know, cut out two doors for us. So we'll have a little Brad Irwin custom in here also.
There you go.
So now what we've done is we've pressured everybody that's been on that you have to come back to at least sign the door. So
yes.
Jeremy, again, I appreciate it. Good luck to you the rest of the year. You know, we'd love to have you back at any point in time, so feel free to swing back out and stop by.
Yeah, anytime you guys want me, I'll come out.
Hey, we will be this will be out Thursday. The podcast will be out Thursday.
Tomorrow morning at 1 a.m.
Yes. Here in just a few hours.
Yeah, yeah. As long as I have no more technical difficulties, I get everything edited, it will be out at 1 a.m. So
be sure to listen to this podcast and all of our other podcasts that you can get on throttledappodcast.com and listen to all of them. Or what's some other ways to get
Apple Podcasts? Basically anywhere you get a podcast. Apple Podcasts is our biggest, but you can find it on basically any podcast source that you use. And again, like you said, throttledappodcast.com. One thing I will say to our Facebook Live listeners, share this stuff out with your followers. We're trying to build something here. We'd love to have more people in. And one thing I want to shout out to some of the people that listened here, if you're a fan and, you just really are truly a passionate race fan and you'd like to come on and sit in, even when we've got just a driver in or whoever, we have a 5-mic setup.
That's
you can't
right.
see
yeah.
it from the camera. But we would be happy to have somebody else come in too and just kind of be able to be here and be a part of it. So if you're interested, reach out to us and we'd love to have you in. So Jeremy, best of luck. Saturday night, Military Appreciation Night at Brownstown. We'll be there to cheer on that no disrespect to the Texas Roadhouse car, but that great looking 00.
Thank you guys. Thanks for having me.
I'm from that dirt. I'm all about that dirt. I'm throwing dirt. I miss that dirt.
Gotta get back to
I'm
it.
I'm a dirt trackaholic. Call it what you call it. Saturday night, I am so Kenny Wallace on that dirt. I miss that dirt.
Gotta get back to it.
I've been the Kenny Wallace of the rap game. Ever since I hit him with that dirt track thing. Now nationwide, everybody knows my name. They're like, mama, that's Kenny Montgomery. He sings that song we like. Yeah, boy, that's me. Roll out the trailer, I'm flossing. Them Hoosier tires glossing. Them cold kind, we're tossing. They know I came to wreck it, yet I rarely bring out a caution. I hit the high side. Boy, I park it for Brian Clausen. I do them like Kyle Larson. Watch me throw them sliders. Party in Victory Lane, and y'all boys ain't invited. Your mama gets excited when I pull up to unload. Even your grandpa talking about, man, that boy too cold. We don't sit on 24s, we don't ride on spinners. I'm posted up on them 15s with platinum dirt defenders. Got kids up in my window like, hey, Mo, are you gonna win it? Yeah, I hope y'all brought some stamps, cause y'all know I'm about to send it on it. Dirt, I'm all about that. Dirt, I'm throwing. Dirt, I miss that. Dirt,
gotta get back to
I'm
it.
I'm a dirt trackaholic, call it what you call it. Saturday night, I am so Kenny Wallace on that. Dirt, I miss that. Dirt,
gotta get back to it.
I just won hot laps for the third week. Lil Dave said he thinks we're in the first heat. So I go and check the board on my bike, sitting outside pole. Y'all know what it's looking like. W, that's another George W. Hit him with that half a lap, like dang, what gear you running, dude? And where'd you get that fire suit. Man, I like that stitching. Velocity USA, hey, just tell Brad that I sent you. I'm shining like I'm rubbered up and I'm smiling for the pics. Y'all boys be looking tacky while I stay looking slick. Four new rims, no new friends. They never know what I'm planning. And mama just gave me them eyes like, dang, baby, you looking handsome. We pray and sing the anthem. Nobody takes a knee. We stop and show respect because we're all proud to be. From the land of the free and the home of the brave, y'all better wake up and get it. We're making America great again. Let's all go out and kick it on this. Dirt, 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 I'm all about that. Dirt, 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 I'm throwing. Dirt, 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 I miss that. Dirt, dirt, dirt,
gotta get back to
I'm
it.
A dirt trackaholic, call it what you call it. Saturday night, I am so Kenny Wallace on that. Dirt, 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 I miss that. Dirt, 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 dirt,
gotta get back to it.